Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky from Savitsky Talks. And today we have a very inspirational person from Ottawa, Canada, Rabbi Yehuda Symes. I've heard so much about you, Rabbi Symes, and it is a pleasure to talk to you on the phone.
It's my honor.
I know that I've read a lot of articles about what happened and your life since the accident, and have you been an inspirational figure for so many people, not just in Canada, but around the world. So, first of all, why don't you tell, if you can, a little bit about your background? I know you were a teacher, you've gotten many awards, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. The first thing to know, actually, is that I never planned to have this type of life, for sure. And I never dreamed to have the type of impact that I seem to have come into. My background is very regular. I began St. Paul, Minnesota, growing up in a family that was a role model for myself. I was inspired to begin my life in the yeshiva background, mostly in Chafetz Chaim.
Chafetz Chaim in Minneapolis or in Rochester? Where was it?
That was high school.
Oh, high school, okay.
And in Milwaukee.
Oh, the Milwaukee, the Chafetz Chaim, that's the famous Witt school?
Right, that's correct.
Oh, okay, fine. And so then from there you went into Chinuch, right?
Right, eventually I got there, went into Chinuch, and I ended up in Ottawa, where we've been the past nearly 10 years.
And then, and I know you got a lot of awards when you were a teacher, because I read about it for being one of the outstanding teachers, and the Grinspoon Steinhardt Award that you got in, I saw it in 2007. That's quite prestigious awards to get.
Yes, I guess so.
Well, sure it is. Absolutely, no question about it. But then, I read about the terrible accident and what happened in June 2010. So it's been it's a year. It's almost 2 years, not quite, almost 2 years. When you in this terrible car accident, and maybe you could just tell the people what happened. I read about it, but they probably don't.
Yeah. So what happened was that I had been driving back from Rochester, where my sister-in-law and her family live, on the way back to Ottawa. And near the border of the United States and Canada, we had switched drivers so that my wife had taken over and I was at the passenger seat. We had stopped so that I would be able to daven mincha. And only because of that, I'd have been sitting in that spot. And my whole family, minus my oldest, were in the car at the time. So at the time, there were 7 children inside of our van. And my wife at the time, 7 months pregnant, and suddenly, as she was driving, she saw some type of shadow. She wasn't sure exactly what it was, but she did see 2 eyes that were shining in the headlights. So reflex, she tried to get a figure out what was looking her in the face. So, unfortunately, we lost control. I myself tried to pull the steering wheel back onto the road, but before we knew it, the car was turning, and it completed a number of turns, and suddenly, I realized that during the turn, I had been saying Shema Yisrael, without, of course, planning anything. And when the car was upright, my children were able to unlock themselves, climb out through the window, and there's much to tell. And actually, way past thinking about those times, I've gone further, much further.
Then I read about what happened, and that I guess you were kind of trapped in a way in in the car, and what happened, and going to the trauma treatment and transferred then eventually to the Ottawa hospital, and being there together when your wife actually gave birth to your child, you actually got to see it. That was incredible that could happen, wasn't it?
Right. Maybe I could spend a minute or two describing that.
Sure, please. I'd like to hear that, please.
So, at the time, I was at the ICU. And my wife, who had planned to be giving birth in a different hospital, she had switched to the same hospital where I was, so that I might have a chance of being present at that birth, as I had at all the others. So this would have been my ninth child. So there had to be a full plan to get me from my ICU room up to the 8th floor. And of course, going for the ICU was the first time anything of this sort had ever been tried. So I needed a full team of nurses and doctors to get me from my position at any time to get upstairs in time for the birth to happen. So it happens that my wife had to be brought in the middle of the night. I had to be awakened. All my tubes, wires, and everything. I was still on a trach. I had to be organized, and I had to get into the elevator. All this is no small task. Up to the 8th floor, and as I got there, it was exactly the moment that this baby was born. And immediately, as I got into the room, the nurses placed the baby into my arms, so to speak, actually into my lap. And I was able to say the bracha that we say about the birth of a boy. And I was drowning in tears. instantaneously. Nurses and doctors were completely overwhelmed. And I could go on and on.
What's the baby's name?
The baby's name is Halter Chanochaydech. We call him Nochi. And he's named after my great Rebbe, who was Rosh Yeshiva.
I figured, right, Rav Hanoch Leibowitz, right?
Right.
So since that time, I mean, that's... it's now been about a year and a half, a little bit more. So, I mean, how have you made some progress, and what have you done, and you know, what is it like at this point, you know, what do you, how do you see, you know, the kind of the prognosis and so on, you know?
Okay, so I have physical therapy every day, and actually somebody just left right now, who's here, helping me put at Dallas and Tefillin. And I still need 100% support. My schedule is quite full.
Well, let's describe it.
Morning begins 6:45 exactly every day of the week, and I got out of my room until 9:45 approximately, and then goes Dallas and Tefillin, and then goes physical or occupational therapy. Then it goes lunch. Then it goes more physical therapy. And before you know it, it's time for the kids to come home. Then we do supper. And I do homework with them. Then before you know it, time to put them to sleep. It's very full. I also do teaching in there.
So you teach? You still teach?
Yes, I do.
So how does that work? These are your students. Where in the high school? Where are these students?
So here in Ottawa, I'm teaching grade 7. So that involves another big deal. Getting my coat on. The winter is quite cold. I have to get there.
Go to the school. I mean, you actually go to the school to teach.
Right. That's
wow.
Right.
Wow. Wow. So you're teaching 7th grade, and so that's a full time. It's a full time job.
Well, the teaching is only one, but my condition is certainly a full time job.
And how many students do you have in your class?
Right now, I'm at 10 students.
Hmm.
But that's going to be expanding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And the school, what's the name? What's the name of the school that you teach at?
Killel Academy.
Killel Academy. That's a K-8 or K-12. What is that school?
It's right now K-12.
Mm-hmm. Killel Academy. Okay. And you teach 7th grade. Was that the grade that you taught before the accident?
Before the accident, I taught usually starting at grade 5 or 6, up to grade 8. That was full time. In addition to that, after school, I would go to Torah High, which is a program for public school kids.
Yeah, we know it well at the OU. We know that program very well.
Right.
Of course.
I was one of the founders of that program.
Really? Oh, it's a great program. I know it well. And
right.
So now you teach the 7th grade. And so how do you actually get to the school? I mean, it must be hard to get to the school, especially in the winter in Ottawa. It's quite cold, right?
Yes. lot of help. First of all, just getting my winter gear on, and then I drive my power chair, which is also not so easy, wearing a coat. And I get myself into our accessible van, which has an electronic lift. And just getting into the van, I drive around into a passenger position.
Who drives the van, actually?
So that's my PSW.
How long does it take to get to school every morning?
It takes about 10 to 15 minutes. Not an easy trip because of the bump.
Oh, right. And when you get to the school, then the van lets you off, and then you take your scooter and go into the classroom? Is that what it is?
Yep. I get into the classroom, and I feel the best that I feel.
How many hours a day do you teach?
Right now, I'm teaching 1 40-minute period.
Okay. And what are you teaching the students right now?
So I teach a class in Jewish values.
So what textbooks do you use for that?
So that's all my preparation during the week. I try to get to it. And it takes a lot of work because I don't have use of my heart, my hands very much. So it's my wife who helps me prepare a lot.
How do you find the students? I mean, as able to connect with them and have a kesher, etc.?
Oh, they're wonderful.
Oh, really? Good.
They're totally, no need of any discipline or any such manners.
Really?
Whatsoever.
That's great. That's really, really great. And what about during the summertime when school is closed? You teach also or not?
So I've only really experienced one of those summers.
Right. Last summer was the first summer, right? How are your children doing?
They're doing great. They are taking it their stuff. It's quite a challenge and journey that we're all going through. And I'm happy to say that they're doing much better than we had hoped.
That's great. No, that's really, really good. And so you're going to continue to get the therapy, are you seeing any kind of progress at all?
Oh, there's huge progress. I began not being able to sit in a chair, in a wheelchair, mm-hmm. more than a few seconds. Now I'm up in the chair from 4 to 10 in the morning. So, approximately 10 o'clock at night. So that itself is huge.
Right. Well, it's incredible that you're, you know, still teaching. And as I said, I've read articles about this, and I know. I guess there was a documentary, wasn't there? That was The Unfinished Journey of Rabbi Symes, right, by Howard Goldenthal.
Right. That's right.
That's available on, in order if you just go to the internet and you download that, people can actually see the documentary, right?
Right, thank you. That one is what to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That was very, very inspirational.
For right. A lot of people. Well, I certainly am going to recommend it to people listening to the interview. To go on and to do The Unfinished Journey of Rabbi Symes. That's Symes. And it's the producer is Howard Goldenthal. And I've heard from people who've seen it that it's really quite something. But I guess, the teaching, being involved in the students is probably, a form of really Simchas HaChaim for you, correct? Right, which is really, really incredible. And, as I said, I've read about you, and of course, all of us, connected, Kol Yisrael Arevim. And I wanted the people who were listening to the program just to understand what it's like, what happens, and how somebody manages to keep emunah, which is a question I just want to ask you. I mean, I'm sure it's probably very difficult. How have you been able to still keep Emuna under these circumstances?
That's a great question. I think that my daily learning caused a bubble of Sharpie Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
Has been great inspiration for myself. And the more I focus on my inner world at this point, the more the words that I've known for many, many years have made my internal world become actualized. So that the words that I read have transferred from my intellectual understanding. Of course, much of internalization becomes actualized. And it's a totally different experience. So the simple thing that I always do are the ones that make the most impression.
Well, listen, thank you so much. I know you've got a full schedule, and you know you're working hard, and hopefully you'll continue to make progress and be an inspiration for not only your family and the community in Ottawa, but for all Claudia Israel. Thank you so much for being on the program.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.